Well, this morning I would invite you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 21, which is found on page 1922 in your pew Bibles. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 21. As we get prepared this morning to read and engage God's Word, let's go to Him in a moment of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray now that you would open our hearts and our minds, that you would reveal to us what your word has to say, and that we may put it into practice and understand it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss, and out of the smoke locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of the scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads they wore something like crowns of gold. Their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair. Their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had the power to torment people for 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek is Apollyon. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour, day, month, and year, were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions. Out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and the idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Well, if you remember last Sunday, We read at the end of our passage about an eagle flying in the air. And that eagle's message was, woe, woe, woe for the three trumpets that are about to come. The three trumpet blasts. Well, today in our scripture passage, we're going to engage two of those trumpet blasts. So two of the woes that the eagle who was flying in the air was talking about at the end of the eighth chapter. The eagle's message had a purpose. And I want us to be clear about the purpose of this eagle's message. The eagle's message about woe, 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 and what is about to come was an encouragement to the people of the earth to repent, to turn from the ways that they had been living and to change how they had been living and walk in a new way. It was another way. God was giving people a chance to turn from sin. I want us to think about that. See, God's desire for you and I isn't destruction. God's desire for you and I is salvation. It's repentance. That's so important for us to understand. As we get into the imagery and we look at what's going on in the book of Revelation, and we've been there for a little while and we've seen some things that might scare the liver out of us, but the honest truth is this: God's desire is not to destroy us, but to save us. What we see happening, and I'll allude to this later in the message, is that God is allowing humanity to experience sin at its fullness. God is saying, okay, fine, if this is what you want, I'll let you have what you want. And so as we learn about these things, don't make the mistake of believing that God is making these things happen and God is destroying people. God is simply allowing evil, allowing sin to be fully experienced by humanity. He's saying, fine, if you don't want me, you don't want my protection, you want to deal with sin on your own, I'll allow you to deal with some of your sin on your own. And then humanity is simply experiencing the consequences of evil. Keep that in mind as we engage and we look at these next two trumpet blasts. The Bible is constantly reminding us, though, that it's time for all of us to seek God, that right now is that time. And as the events of these next two trumpet blasts unfold, again, the goal is what? Repentance, right? That's God's goal for us. And God's goal is forgiveness. Because God reveals that to us over and over and over again throughout Scripture. The only question that really sets before us then is this: will we as humans repent, or will our hearts get hard? Well, let's investigate these next two trumpet blasts. The first woe and the fifth trumpet. So as the fifth angel sounds the trumpet, we see something happen immediately. A star that had fallen from the sky was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. That's interesting. This star that had fallen, as soon as the fifth angel blows his trumpet, we begin to experience this first woe. And what happens is a star that has fallen from the sky has a key that star has been given, that immediately they open the shaft of the abyss. An abyss is a deep or bottomless pit. I had to look that up. I didn't know what abyss was. It doesn't sound very wonderful or very great or very kind, so I had the help of Merriam-Webster. I looked it up, and it says it's a deep or bottomless pit. Not a hospitable place for anybody to spend any amount of time. And this deep or bottomless pit, from an understanding or from a biblical perspective, which I knew, was it represents chaos or evil. So this star that fell from the sky had a key to unlock this abyss or this shaft. And as it unlocks it and the shaft is opened, it's unleashing chaos or evil from within the shaft. I think that's the picture that we want to see. This is this star's appointed duty, to open this shaft. Now, what do you think is going to come out of this abyss, this shaft, if we know it's a place of chaos and evil? Well, it definitely can't be good things, right? This woe is a part of the trouble and the agony that sin brings into the life of people, into our world. It's important for us to recognize this, that what we are going to experience, what we're going to see happening in the next few verses, didn't need to happen. It was a choice, a conscious choice, made by humanity to choose sin over righteousness, evil over good. Now, it all started with Adam and Eve, right? We can all point to Adam and Eve and say, yeah, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did. They allowed sin to enter into this world, absolutely. But I'm going to give you all an opportunity this morning. You may come up here and stand next to me so you can bear witness to everyone here this morning if you have never made the choice to sin in your life. Now, I'll be the first to admit I have made the choice to sin. I'm only up here because I'm the pastor. I'm preaching the sermon. But if you've never sinned in your life and you've never done anything wrong in your life and you've lived a perfect life, I want you to come up and stand next to me and share with us how you've accomplished that. I've got three microphones up here, and if I need to get more, I'll get more. So come forward this morning. Nobody's moving. We all know we've sinned, so we can't blame Adam and Eve because sin has existed in this world. And that's the interesting thing I want us to accomplish, to understand fully this morning. We've all made the choice to sin, and it has been a choice. I can remember growing up as a little boy, and I have two sisters, and they deserved to be picked on. They did. But I knew that was wrong, but I made the choice to do it. Consciously, by the way, I said, my sisters need to be tortured in my little head. I'm not proud of that fact, but it is a fact. Okay? It was a sin. So at a very young age, I consciously made the choice to sin, and all of us have. Sin has never been a mistake. If you really think about it, we sin because we choose to sin. We know the difference between what is right and what is wrong. Very rarely do we say, oh, I didn't know that. That comes out of our mouth, but it isn't true. It's a lie. We know wrong is wrong, and we know right is right, and we make choices in that way. So we have to understand this. We've turned our backs on God's love. God has not turned his back on us. And what we experience, God is now allowing us to experience. So let's look. And what is going to come out of this abyss? Well, the first thing we see as the abyss is opened is that smoke rises out of the abyss. And our passage says it's like smoke coming from a gigantic furnace. It's thick and it's black. And it darkens the sun. And we think, boy, that doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound exciting. And we think, well, is that the plague? Is that, it's darkening the sun, things aren't going to be good? No, no, that's not the plague. That's just the warning sign of what's to come. What's to come, we see coming out of this thick smoke, is a bunch of locusts. These locusts that are coming out of this thick smoke, we think, okay, locusts. But they've been given the power to sting like a scorpion. Right? That's what our passage tells us. And they aren't to harm the green grass. They aren't to harm the trees. They're not to harm the crops. That's normally what we would think of if a locust would be harmful to trees and grass and crops, the green things in our world. No, no. They're not to affect those whatsoever. These locusts are different. Look at the description of them if you've got your Bibles open in chapter 9 this morning. Here's what they're described like. Try to wrap your mind around this. They wore crowns of gold on their heads. Their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. Can you picture that in your head? Let's break that down a little bit this morning. So they wore crowns of gold. What would that tell us? Now, you have to understand that there's a lot of imagery in the book of Revelation. Now, these could actually be locusts that look like this, that bring this plague on, or it could be something else. But I'm going to tell you this. I've lived long enough and learned enough to recognize something about humanity. We like to blame, don't we? Something bad happens in our world and in our environment. We're looking about who to blame for it, right? And we say it's this or we say it's that. We lost power in some areas and they had rolling blackouts. And guess what? The first thing they were trying to do in our nation was figure out who to blame, right? Oh, well, there's ice that covered windmills down in Texas and it made them stop turning. They froze up. But we're looking for people to blame, right? It wasn't the natural. And then ultimately, if they can't find any individual to blame, what do they do next? They blame the change in the weather patterns on what? Anybody know what they blame the change in weather patterns on? Global warming, right? It's global warming. It's freezing, but it's global warming. And that's how they blame these weather patterns. And I know I'm going to get some scientist that watches me on Facebook or YouTube, and they're going to come to Steen and yell at me. Okay, fine, do it. But here's the truth. We look for somebody to blame when we can't find anybody else to blame. And this is going to be the same kind of thing. When this happens in history, humanity is not going to say, wow, this is crazy. This must be from God. They're going to look for somebody to blame. So let's look at these different images, these locusts that are wearing golden crowns. That would mean they'd have some kind of wealth, some kind of power, right? To have a crown of gold. Any of you have a crown of gold? I don't even have a gold crown in my mouth, let alone one that I could wear on my head. Because gold is the highest price it has been in history right now, correct? You've got to be a wealthy person to have gold. It's expensive. So these creatures have some wealth. Now, what else do we see about them? They've got these faces are like human faces. And they've got hair like women's hair. So in my head, this is me thinking, they must be somewhat attractive, right? Because if they've got women's hair and they've got a human face, they're probably somewhat attractive and people are drawn to them. Because they're A, wealthy, B, they've got human faces and they've got this women's hair and women are beautiful, okay? This is true. But think about it. So people are going to be drawn to these creatures. And finally, they have teeth like lion's teeth. Now, that's a little creepy. So they have a good bite, right? And they sting because they've got tails like scorpions have tails. And when they fly, it's like they're coming with the sound of thunderous horses and chariots. They're noisy. Now, this could be an actual physical creature that we're talking about here. That's absolutely possible. But let your mind race a little bit. It could be more than that. There could be things going on and happening in the world, and people will say, this is why and that is why. But we're going to be attracted to these creatures. We're going to be attracted to what's going on, the people that symbolize these things. They had breastplates of iron, so they were protected from people attacking them. But you think about it, and you put all those things together, and I would say, for you and I, we'd look at a creature like that and we'd be a little bit afraid, especially when there's a multitude of them. And they're given this power. These locusts, they have limited power for sure, but they're given power. The locusts are specifically there to torture people of the earth for a period of 5 months. I want us to think about that. They're given the ability and the power to sting people and to hurt people, but they couldn't kill them. This reminds me a little bit of some of the plagues we read about in Genesis in Egypt, of the gnats and the flies and the locusts there. They were swarming. They were all over the place. They were suffocating. So terrible was that plague in Egypt that Pharaoh said, fine, just take this away and I'll let the people go. And of course, his heart was hardened and he didn't let the people to go. But look at how it's described here in Revelation chapter 9. The people of the earth are experiencing this plague of these locusts, and they want to die. You think that's bad? When you got the people of the earth wishing they could die because over a 5-month period they are getting stung and tortured by these locusts. They wish they could die, but they can't find death, it says. They just have to endure. But here's the thing. These locusts, we find out, aren't independent operators. They have an angel over them. They have an angel controlling them and telling them what to do. And of course, a fallen angel, an evil one, because this angel came up out of the abyss, out of evil and out of chaos. And this angel has a name. Now, it's translated for us into Hebrew and Greek, which, unless you're a Hebrew and Greek scholar, I'm sure none of you find all that helpful, right? I'll translate it to us into English. This angel's name is Destroyer. That's the name of the angel. Think this angel's a nice angel with the name Destroyer, and he's in control of these locusts, and he is inflicting, he's their king, the Bible says, and he is part of the inflicting of pain upon the people of the earth. Any volunteers to live when this fifth trumpet blast is blasted? Anybody excited about experiencing this at that time? I'm not. But there's good news for us. Did you catch that when we read through it this morning? If you have God's seal on your head, if you are sealed, if you're in the Lamb's Book of Life, and earlier on we read about how God stopped the angels at the four corners and it was time to seal his people as his own, this plague passes over those who believe. They don't get stung. The rest of the world, the non-believing world, absolutely does, but not the believers. This 5-month period for believers is not a period of torture. Believers will be spared. They won't have to live in fear. Now that sounds like real good news. It does. It sounds good to me. But think about all the people who don't have that seal. And that's how it ends. I mean, again, the goal of the fifth trumpet blast, the first woe, is to get people to repent. My question is, will they? Clearly, those that are not affected will have the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, and people will have the opportunity within that 5-month period to repent of their sins. But will they? Let's look at the second woe, the sixth trumpet blast, quickly this morning. So the sixth angel sounds his trumpet. And as soon as the trumpet is sounded, a voice is heard coming from the golden altar, the horns of the golden altar that is before God's throne in heaven. And that voice instructs the angel to release the four angels who are being bound at that time, or for this particular time, at the great river Euphrates. These four angels, the Bible tells us, our passage tells us, have been kept there for this very hour, day, month, and year. And they have a purpose. Those angels are to go into the earth and kill 1/3 of mankind. 1/3 of humans. That's their purpose. But God isn't the one doing this. Understand, get this image here. The blast is heard, the voice from the altar is heard, and where have these angels been? Where are they right now? They are right now in a place. They are bound, kept from affecting the earth at the great river Euphrates. That's an actual place. In the world, it's in the Middle East, it's by Iraq, and it follows through down to the ocean. Those angels are bound there for this specific month, day, month, and year. God is keeping them from killing humanity as we speak. And God says, I'm going to let them go. I'm going to let humanity again experience what humanity has chosen to experience. Evil, death, sin. But these four angels aren't alone in what they're doing. In fact, they have a mounted army with them of 200 million in number, troops in number. And they're going to kill up to a third of the earth. Now, think about that. Right now, I looked it up. Right now, the earth's population is 7.8 billion people, give or take a few million. 7.8 billion people live on the planet Earth. Now, those of you that are quick with math can figure out exactly what a third of that is. I, on the other hand, had to use my calculator, and one third of 7.8 billion people is somewhere around 2.6 billion people. I'll say that again. 2.6 billion people will die at the hands of these four angels and their mounted army of over 200 million. Do you think that would get the world's attention if something like that happened, if 2.6 billion people were to die? I mean, think about the virus, this plague that we've been experiencing in our day, the COVID-19 virus. How many people have died worldwide? There's been, they say, about, 500,000 now in the United States? It's nowhere near 2.6 billion, is it? And that's gotten the world's attention. Do you think this might get the world's attention when this army is unleashed and these four angels are unleashed and 2.6 billion people die? I wonder. Our passage continues to describe this army of death. Well, what are they going to do? How are they going to function? There's horses and riders. And they had breastplates on, and they wore these breastplates, and there were breastplates that were fiery red, others were dark blue, and others were yellow like sulfur. The heads of their horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire and smoke and sulfur, which corresponded with the color of their breastplates, I'm sure. The horses' tails had the heads of snakes, and they used them to inflict injury on those that they were going to kill. So not only were they going to kill people, they're going to hurt them before they kill them. The plagues were fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of these horses' mouths. And that's what killed the people, a third of the people on the earth. The fire, the smoke, and the sulfur that came out of this 200 million army's horses' mouths. And the purpose of this plague was no different than the plagues that had come before, and that was to get people to turn from their evil ways and repent. But look what happens. Painfully, the remaining inhabitants of the earth's hearts have grown hard. Our passage is very clear. They still refused to repent, and they did not stop worshiping demons or idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood. Nor are they willing to repent from their murders, their stealing, their magic arts, and their sexual immorality. That's how our passage ends this morning. Even after all this distress, even after all of these things that happen, even after something that happens that you would think would get the attention of the entire earth, humanity refuses to turn from their evil and their wicked ways. That's heartbreaking. So how do we handle something like that? Why is humanity so stubborn? Do any of us know? Why won't we turn from the error of our ways? It's disheartening when you read about it here. God has given us so many chances to repent from our sin and find hope and help in Him, and yet humanity has continued to turn away, 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 and now things are real serious and they're still turning away. What does this tell us? It tells us that people need Jesus now. The time to wake up and to engage our world is today, because the stuff like this isn't happening, is it? We're not seeing a 200 million plus army that breathes fire and smoke and sulfur, killing a third of humanity. We're not there yet, are we? The time for people to repent is today. The time for change is today. The time to share Jesus with people is today, because now is when their hearts are more malleable. They're not this hard. So that means something for us as Christians this morning. You and I, we can't hide. We can't live in fear about what is, because what is to come is going to be much worse than what is. We have to go out, we have to engage, we have to share God's love with people around us so that they take advantage of the opportunity to repent that they have today, because today their hearts are much more malleable than they will be in the future. The goal of this passage is not only to help us understand what is to come, but also to help us understand what is. What is we have an opportunity as Christian men and women this morning to share God's love with people and for them to respond and believe in the one that God has sent into this world. And we can't do that by hiding in our buildings or hiding in our homes or staying away from each other. We have to go and meet and love people. God has called us to do that. We have to live in confidence and speak God's truth in love to the world around us. We can't hide our faith any longer. Revelation should be motivating us this morning to move, because the time is growing short. God has given us this charge to share the good news and the love of Jesus. And we have to do that before it's too late. Because we already know that at this point, people's hearts will be too hard. When they really experience evil at its fullest, they won't be ready to repent. As Jesus points out in the New Testament when he's speaking, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when the Son of Man returns. How many were saved in Noah's day? How many got on the ark? Way more animals than people. It was Noah and his sons and their wives. And that was it. Noah preached and preached and preached, and people's hearts were hard. Today is our opportunity to share love with others. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that you will help us not to be living in fear, but understand that you have put us here for a purpose, that you have charged us to go out and to share the good news, to baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, so that they can know the hope that is in you. Lord, help us to live in the way you've called us to live. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. I'm going to invite